Imagine this. Your company just passed this massive $1 million security audit,
Well,
right?
champagne is popping.
Exactly. Everyone's popping champagne. You're all feeling completely bulletproof. But sitting quietly in the background, there's this forgotten piece of code, like a temporary bot created maybe 3 years ago for a one-off database migration.
Oh, the classic weekend project bot.
Yes, and it still holds the master keys to your entire customer database. So today we're looking at why enterprise tech isn't just, a simple cage match, and why getting your identity architecture wrong leaves your doors wide open. Welcome to this deep dive into the identity and access management space.
It's a huge topic.
It really is. Our mission today is to unpack this tech showdown that you've definitely seen if you're looking at RFPs or, plotting a career in IT security.
Yeah.
We're talking King Identity versus SailPoint.
Yeah, and it's a search query that just completely dominates the industry. I mean, you see them on the same shortlists all the time.
Right.
And you might assume, understandably, that they're locked in this brutal head-to-head battle for supremacy.
Like it's a zero-sum game.
Exactly. And the financial stakes backing these platforms, well, they really only fuel that misconception because we're talking about massive, massive influxes of capital here.
The Thoma Bravo deals, right?
Yeah. So Thoma Bravo, the private equity firm, they swept in and literally took both of them off the public market in 2022. They grabbed SailPoint in a deal valued around $6.9 billion. Though I should say SailPoint did eventually IPO again.
Right.
But then they also took Ping Identity private and subsequently merged it with ForgeRock in 2023 for roughly $2.3 billion.
That is just so much money.
It is. And when you see billions of dollars flowing into two companies in the exact same sector, it's so easy to assume they're, fighting over the exact same piece of the pie.
But let's unpack this, because assuming they're direct competitors is honestly a trap for anyone
A
listening.
very expensive trap.
Totally, because if you misunderstand what these platforms actually do, you're setting your organization up for, well, one of two absolute nightmares. You either build a system so locked down and like clunky that your employees are resorting to shadow IT just to do their basic daily jobs.
Which defeats the whole purpose of security.
Exactly. Or on the flip side, you end up with a catastrophic audit failure because your users are just hoarding access rights that nobody, and I mean nobody, ever reviews.
Right. And to avoid those nightmares, we really have to tear down the false premise of this whole versus myth. Ping and SailPoint, they actually solve fundamentally different problems.
Okay, so how do we separate them?
Well, they operate on entirely different data models. They cater to different stakeholders within a business entirely. So beneath the broad umbrella of IAM identity and access management, you have access and authentication on one side,
Okay.
and then you have identity governance on the other.
So let's draw that line in the sand right now for you guys listening. Ping Identity is all about access management and authentication. The core question Ping asks is this person who they claim to be, and should they be allowed to log into this specific app right this second?
Exactly, right this second.
But then SailPoint, on the other hand, handles identity governance and administration, or IGA.
Yes.
And SailPoint is asking a totally different question. They're asking, should this person even have the authorization to request this access in the first place? And can we mathematically prove to an auditor that this access is still justified?
Yeah, I mean, the time horizon is really the key differentiator here. Authentication, which is what Ping does, is a real-time event.
It's happening right now.
It's a millisecond decision made at the perimeter. Governance, what SailPoint does, is ongoing historical lifecycle management. It's tracking the entire lifespan of a user's relationship with the company's data.
I want to make sure we really ground this for everyone listening, because when I was going through the architecture notes for this deep dive, it hit me. Like, I came up with this analogy.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so Ping Identity is basically the bouncer at the door of an exclusive VIP club, right? They're checking your ID, they're looking at you, deciding if you get in tonight.
Right, checking the list at the door.
Yeah. But SailPoint is the club's general manager sitting in the back office. They're the one deciding who even gets to be on that VIP list to begin with. And they're periodically reviewing the list to kick people off when they, stop paying their dues or cause trouble.
That analogy actually holds up perfectly when you look at the underlying technology.
Okay.
Because the bouncer, Ping, is executing the security policy dynamically at the door. But the general manager, SailPoint is the one designing the policy, maintaining the ledger, and ensuring the club doesn't get shut down by the fire marshal.
Or the regulator.
Exactly. Yeah. You just can't run a secure operation with only one or the other. You need both.
Okay, so let's look closer at the bouncer first. Let's see how Ping actually secures that front door.
Mm-hmm.
Because you mentioned real-time millisecond decisions. But honestly, in a world where everyone is working remotely, like using VPNs that bounce their IP addresses from Tokyo to New York in the span of an hour, how does Ping evaluate a login without just constantly locking legitimate employees out?
It's a huge problem.
Right. I imagine adaptive authentication has to be incredibly nuanced now. Like, a password and a text message code just isn't enough anymore, is it?
It really isn't. And that's exactly the challenge Ping's architecture is built to solve. The days of just checking a password and a static IP address, those are completely over.
Because attackers are just too fast now.
Right. Attackers are easily bypassing those traditional roadblocks. They use session hijacking or MFA fatigue attacks.
Oh, MFA fatigue, where they just spam the phone.
Yeah, exactly. They just spam an employee's phone with approval requests in the middle of the night until the exhausted employee finally clicks approve just to make it stop.
Oh, man. I would totally fall for that if I was half asleep.
Most people do. So to combat this, Ping relies on an orchestration engine called DaVinci. It doesn't just look at a single factor like a password. It evaluates a really complex web of risk signals in real time.
So it's looking at the broader context of the entire login attempt, not just the credential.
Yes. It looks at device posture. Hmm. Like, is this a company-issued laptop? Does it have the latest security patches installed?
Okay, that makes sense.
It even looks at behavioral biometrics.
Wait, really? Like what?
Like the angle the phone is being held or the specific typing cadence on the keyboard.
That is wild. It knows how fast I type.
Yep. It correlates the time of day with the user's historical patterns. And if you're bouncing around VPNs, DaVinci can recognize the VPN signature and weigh it against the physical impossibility of your travel time.
So if I log in from New York and then 10 minutes later from Tokyo, it flags it.
Exactly. And if that risk score spikes, the orchestration engine dynamically steps up the challenge. It might say, okay, demand a biometric scan or ask for a hardware security key.
Which intercepts the threat right there before they can even use the stolen password.
Precisely.
And the beauty of that orchestration engine, from what I read, is that it's doing this without forcing a company's internal dev team to write thousands of lines of custom code for every single app they use.
Right. It's highly integrative.
Yeah. We're talking about Ping Nensoro for their cloud-native deployments, and then Ping Federate for self-managed or, you know, on-prem environments.
Yeah. Ping Federate is huge in legacy enterprise.
Which brings up something we should probably clarify for the listeners. You see terms like SAMLA and OAuth thrown around constantly when talking about Ping.
Oh, absolutely.
How are they actually moving that authenticated identity around the network? Like, what are those protocols doing?
Well, this gets to the very heart of federation. So when you log in once in the morning, and then you seamlessly access 20 different applications throughout the day without having to type your password again.
Which is the best feeling.
It is. That's federation action. Ping uses protocols like SANL to pass these XML-based assertions between systems.
Assertions meaning?
Basically, handing a digital ticket to an application that says, hey, I vouch for this user, let them in.
Okay, and OAuth?
OAuth is slightly different. It's an authorization framework that issues access tokens. So it allows an application to access specific resources on a user's behalf without ever seeing their actual credentials.
Okay, I see.
Ping basically serves as the central nervous system, securely routing all these tokens and assertions around.
But here's the catch, and this is where we have to pivot. Ping's real-time security is practically useless if the underlying access privileges are fundamentally corrupt, right?
Oh, 100%.
Because if a disgruntled employee legitimately authenticates through Ping Lake, they use all the right hardware keys, their typing cadence matches, everything's perfect.
The bouncer lets them in.
Right, the bouncer lets them in. But if they still have administrative access they shouldn't have anymore, Ping just opens the door. The bouncer did their job perfectly, but the person on the VIP list is an insider threat. So that is a perfect transition to our general manager. Let's meet SailPoint and talk about governance.
Yeah, and that scenario you just described, that is the exact blind spot that causes major corporate breaches.
Just people having access they shouldn't.
Right. Once you're inside the network, SailPoint's Identity Security Cloud, which is built on their Atlas platform, takes over. Or, you know, if you're dealing with massive legacy mainframes on-prem, you'd use their Identity IQ platform.
Okay.
Their core function is to ensure the principle of least privilege is maintained over time. And that is just a monumental task because corporate data is notoriously messy.
Oh, I can only imagine. You've got HR systems calling a department one thing and then the IT directory calling it something completely different.
Exactly. Think about the friction of a standard access certification campaign. In the past, compliance meant IT would send this massive spreadsheet with thousands of rows of obscure Active Directory group names to a marketing manager.
Sounds like a nightmare.
And they'd ask them, hey, does your team still need this?
And the manager's just staring at it.
Right, because the manager has no idea what, like, global C group 492 even means.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
So they just rubber stamp it. They hit approve on everything so they can get back to their real job.
And that's how toxic access accumulation happens. People just hoard permissions forever.
Exactly. So SailPoint steps in and ingests the raw HR data, cross-references it with the technical permissions across all those applications, and translates it into plain English.
So when that manager gets the certification review now, they just see, does Sarah still need access to the Q3 marketing budget folder in SharePoint?
Precisely. Much easier to answer.
Wow, yeah.
SailPoint automates the provisioning when Sarah's hired. It triggers the role change when she gets promoted, and it completely, instantly severs her access. The second HR updates her status to terminated.
Leaving an audit trail.
An unshakable, mathematically provable audit trail for the regulators.
That's incredible. But honestly, the most fascinating and frankly terrifying thing in our sources for this deep dive isn't about governing human employees like Sarah.
Oh, I know you're going with this.
It's about non-human identities. SailPoint is dedicating massive resources to governing bots and AI agents. And I think people listening might vastly underestimate how many autonomous scripts are just running around their networks with full admin rights.
They absolutely underestimate it.
Like, picture a developer, right? They create a quick API bot to scrape some data from an AWS S3 bucket for a weekend project.
We've all seen it.
They give it super admin access just to avoid, like, annoying permission errors while they're coding. They finish the project, and then a year later, they leave the company.
And the bot stays.
Yes.
Yeah.
That bot is still sitting there, completely unmonitored, with the literal keys to the kingdom.
It is the single biggest expanding attack surface in modern enterprise architecture today.
Biggest.
By far. Because a human employee has an inherent life cycle, right? They are hired, they take vacations, and eventually they either quit or get fired.
Which triggers an HR process.
Exactly, an offboarding process.
Yeah.
But non-human identities. They don't have an HR department, a service account, or an RPA script robotic process automation. It never sleeps. It never asks for a raise. And it never officially resigns.
So nobody ever thinks to revoke its access. It just sits there forever.
And attackers know this. If they can compromise a forgotten service account, they can move laterally through the network completely undetected. Because the system just thinks, oh, the bot is just doing its automated job.
Wow. So how does SailPoint fix that?
SailPoint brings those non-human identities out of the shadows. Mm. They basically force organizations to assign a human ownership to every single bot.
So someone is accountable.
Exactly. They run certification campaigns on API keys and service accounts, ensuring that non-human access is just as rigorously governed and, you know, regularly pruned as human access.
That is so smart. Okay, so that brings us to how mature organizations actually deploy this technology in the real world. When you zoom out, this whole ping versus SailPoint framing completely collapses.
It completely falls apart.
Because they are basically the ultimate tag team for a zero-trust architecture.
Yes.
And for anyone who needs a quick refresher, the National Institute of Standards Technologyness, they define zero-trust as assuming no user, device, or application should ever be implicitly trusted just because they happen to be inside the corporate network.
Right. The old castle and moat security model is dead.
Right.
It requires continuous verification now.
Right.
Zero-trust isn't, you know, a single product you can just buy off a shelf. It's a strategic framework.
It's a mindset.
Exactly. So ping handles the continuous verification of the identity at the perimeter. It evaluates the dynamic risk of the connection. And SailPoint handles the continuous verification of the authorization, ensuring the access rights themselves haven't become toxic over time.
Let's walk through a real-world scenario to really show how these two integrate in practice for you guys listening. Let's say we have a mid-sized financial services company dealing with highly sensitive client data.
Okay, good example. Imagine you work there,
mm-hmm.
and you're moving from the credit analysis team over to the compliance team.
Okay, so I'm switching roles.
The trigger actually starts in the HR software. Maybe it's Workday. HR updates your job title. SailPoint's Lifecycle Manager immediately detects that change in the background.
Without me doing anything.
Right. Without any IT help desk tickets being filed, SailPoint automatically revokes your access to the old credit risk databases and provisions your new access to the compliance reporting tools.
And this is based on predefined roles.
Exactly. Based on role-based access controls.
So SailPoint is like the invisible hand just rearranging my digital workspace behind the scenes while I'm asleep.
Yes. Then, the next morning, you open your laptop to start your new job. That's when Ping Identity steps in.
The bouncer.
Ping evaluates your device posture, checks your biometrics, and authenticates you. But because SailPoint already updated your underlying group memberships overnight, Ping generates a fresh SAML token that reflects your new compliance role.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, granting you seamless access to your new dashboard and completely blocking you from your old one. They work perfectly in tandem.
And crucially, neither of them forces an all-cloud migration, because the sources for this deep dive highlight that a lot of massive enterprises have incredibly complex legacy footprints.
Oh, yeah. Custom-built mainframes from the 90s.
Right. Stuff that simply cannot be migrated to the cloud without breaking the whole company. But both Ping and SailPoint support hybrid environments, right?
They do.
You can run Ping Federate and SailPoint Identity IQ on-prem to secure the legacy stuff, while at the same time using their cloud-native platforms for your modern SaaS apps.
And honestly, that hybrid capability is exactly why they dominate the enterprise space. They don't force a company to rip and replace their entire infrastructure overnight, which is a non-starter for most Fortune 500.
Totally. Now, understanding this architecture is fascinating on a technical level, sure. Well, but for anyone listening who works in IT or wants to break into the industry, this knowledge translates into serious career leverage.
Huge leverage. The identity economy is booming right now.
But the career paths diverge based on which side of the equation you focus on. So, if you're building a career on Ping Identity, what does your day-to-day actually look like?
Well, a PIN-focused career looks a lot like application security or DevOps. You're really working in the trenches of authentication protocols.
So lots of code.
Yeah, you need a deep understanding of SAML-AL, OAuth, and OpenID Connect. Your day involves scripting custom authentication journeys in DaVinci, managing encryption keys, and, you know, troubleshooting token routing errors between cloud providers.
Got it. You're a security engineer focused on the perimeter.
Exactly.
Whereas if you go the SailPoint route, you're stepping into GRC governance, risk, and compliance.
A totally different vibe.
Right. You aren't necessarily debugging network tokens. You're designing identity life cycles. You're mapping out that role-based access control we talked about. And you're engineering complex separation duties policies.
Which is critical.
Yeah. Like ensuring the person who writes a company check cannot be the exact same person who approves the check.
Right. You're acting as a bridge between the technical infrastructure and the legal and compliance teams.
And the demand for both of these skill sets is just exploding right now, particularly in global IT hubs. When you look at the data, cities in India like Hyderabad, Bengaluru, Pune, and Chennai, they're becoming absolute epicenters for IAM deployment.
Massive growth there.
We're seeing a massive concentration of global capability centers, or GCCs, scaling up these identity practices. But I actually wondered about this when I read the reports. Why is IAM architecture specifically driving such localized hiring booms? Like, why can't a company just have their standard sysadmins turn on Ping and SailPoint and just be done with it?
Because the friction of implementation is just staggering.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Wow. I mean, textbooks and vendor demos, they show you a clean, perfectly categorized corporate hierarchy.
Right. The perfect world.
But the reality of a Fortune 500 company is a chaotic mess. It's overlapping domains, decades of legacy tech debt, and localized HR policies that completely contradict each other.
Oh, man, it sounds like a headache.
It is. Deploying IAM isn't just a technical challenge. It's honestly an exercise in organizational psychology.
That is a great way to put it.
Enterprises desperately need IAM architects who can navigate that internal politics, map the messy reality to a clean zero-trust architecture, and then actually write the complex configurations required to integrate Ping and SailPoint.
Which is why practical experience trumps basic certifications, right? I mean, both platforms offer certs. Ping has PADS for Ping Federate and Ping On. SailPoint offers identity security cloud engineering exams.
They do, yeah.
But the sources point out that specialized training programs like SailPoint Masters in Hyderabad, they're popping up specifically to bridge the gap between just passing a multiple choice test and actually knowing how to untangle a botched enterprise deployment.
Because an exam proves you the terminology.
Right.
But deploying a hybrid zero-trust architecture across 100,000 users, that requires battle-tested experience. Enterprises are aggressively hunting for professionals who don't just know one tool, but who understand the holistic synergy between authentication and governance.
So let's bring this all home for everyone listening. If you're an IT leader evaluating a tech stack, or maybe an engineer deciding where to specialize, remember that the whole versus debate is a complete distraction.
It really is.
Better depends purely on where your current architecture is bleeding. Mm-hmm. If your users are drowning in password fatigue and your perimeter is vulnerable to session hijacking, well, you need Ping Identity.
Yep. Yeah.
But if you're failing compliance audits, losing track of administrative rights, and relying on manual help desk tickets for onboarding, you need SailPoint. The most secure enterprises don't pick a side. They hire the bouncer and the manager, and they let them do what they do best.
Exactly. But, you know, before we wrap up, I want to leave everyone with a thought regarding those non-human identities we discussed earlier.
Oh, the bots. Yeah.
Because the adoption of AI agents and autonomous code is accelerating exponentially right now. We are rapidly approaching a tipping point where non-human digital identities won't just match the human workforce. They will vastly outnumber them.
That's a little unsettling.
We could easily see a near future where a company's Active Directory is 90% autonomous code and only 10% actual human beings.
Wow. That completely upends the traditional model of IT management.
It really does.
Yeah.
It forces us to redefine governance entirely. I mean, think about it. When a complex AI agent dynamically creates its own sub-agents to complete a task, who governs the permissions of those sub-agents?
I wouldn't even know where to start.
Right. And more critically, from a legal and compliance standpoint, who is ultimately held accountable when an autonomous bot goes rogue and accidentally deletes a critical production database or leaks customer records?
Is it the developer who made it? The AI itself? The company?
The platforms we've discussed today are going to have to evolve at breakneck speed to secure a network where the most powerful users are completely invisible.
It's a brand new frontier, and it really makes you wonder if our current concept of a digital bouncer is ready for a club where almost all the VIPs are just algorithms.
It's something every IAM architect needs to be thinking about right now.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the identity economy. Keep your access tight, and we'll see you next time.